Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today I am joined by Hannah, Jess and Dan to give our spoiler-free discussion review of The Tales of the Ghostly Galleon, an awesome online escape room by Hourglass Escapes in Seattle. So let's take you straight to our review.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi folks and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, it's myself and Hannah, but we've been joined once again by Dan and Jess. Dan and Jess from UK Haunters, how are you both?
We're all good, thank you.
Yeah, good in the
hood. Good stuff, excellent. Hannah, you safe and well?
Living my best lockdown life.
Living the best lockdown life. And speaking of lockdown life, we have once again got Dan and Jess to join us for an escape room. We did an online escape room just before Christmas. We did Hourglass Escapes Evil Dead 2 room. You can check out the review for that just a few episodes ago if you scroll down. We had an absolute blast. And the guys at Hourglass Escapes have been so kind to let us check out another one of their rooms as well. So we just did the Ghostly Galleon with Dan and Jess. We need Dan and Jess on board because me and Hannah would just be stuck. We'd just be well stuck. But we did it as a four and we got out with 15 minutes to spare. Without giving too many spoilers away in this episode, we're going to try and keep it very spoiler free so you guys can experience it. But Dan, Jess, what were your sort of initial thoughts from the Ghostly Galleon remote escape room from Hourglass Escapes?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was definitely a different feel to the Evil Dead one, wasn't it?
Well, yes. It was pirates.
Hannah's just pointing out, well, duh, of course they were, Mikey. It's because it was pirates.
Yeah, I think it was less theatrical because there was less...
Yeah.
There's less movie-like. It was more it's more traditional escape room. They said, when we were chatting to them, that it was actually their hardest room.
I just want to disagree with you ever so slightly because I think the avatars are still very theatrical in their performance, though. I think that's quite fun. Mm.
I think the girl we had was really, really good. She pulled off the pirate accent. She was really in character. So yeah, I guess it was they broke that fourth wall a bit, didn't they? Like they did in the first one with Evil Dead, and it was fun to be able to control a character and that the character interacts with you.
Yeah, but I mean, less theatrical. I mean, there was this, like, the Evil Dead room looked like a movie set.
Yeah.
There was a lot more interaction in terms of, because there's a lot of geek things going on. There was the book in the middle. There were TV screens in the mirror. There was a TV screen in the book. But there's stuff going on. I mean, there's a lot more imagery, a lot more effects going on. And this was more down to the bones escape room, so I mean.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That the Evil Dead room was definitely, there was more tech involved.
Yeah.
But this one was more like you say, like a proper old school style of escape room, which again was just as fun. And I'm happy because I definitely did better this time round than I did in the Evil Dead 2 one.
Definitely.
Yeah, you kicked ass this time. I was dead impressed.
Yeah. But don't expect that now. The Hourglass Escape team have been really nice to us. We want to check out the Rise of the Mad Ferrero. Thank you, Hannah. Could have called it a Ferrero Rocher. Ferrero. So they've got three games. We want to check out their third one. So yeah, guys, don't expect anything now.
Oh, no, you've set a bar now.
Yeah, I'm. Once we figured out that the lamp doesn't work, that's it. Your brain's free to roam, and you're kicking ass.
No, I appreciate Jess checking that the lamp doesn't work. But you know what? You never know. You know, and when we do the next one, we'll still have to check the lamp. It'd be the one thing we don't check, and then we won't get out, and we'll be like, "How did we lose?" And the avatar would be like, "Well, all you had to do was switch on this light."
There was a lamp.
There was a lamp the whole time, and none of you tried switching it on.
I doubt that'll ever happen.
Yeah, I doubt that'll ever happen.
Anyone knows escape room where you specifically need to turn a lamp on? Let Mikey know.
No,
I feel really special. It's going to happen, definitely. But yeah, we did. And I don't know if we went into it in as much detail when we went on the Evil Dead one, purely because it was also visually impressive. But I really liked the fact that you have sort of another screen along with your Zoom conversation that you, each time you sort of figure out a clue, they'll tell you to type in boat or they'll tell you to type in map. Yeah. And what you see in the room, you get to see in a proper, nice, high-definition photo or video or scroll.
Which really helped.
On your screen, which yeah, that really helped us, definitely.
I think more so in this one than the Evil Dead one, because I felt like we were constantly going back to the inventory in this one and looking at different things. Whereas in the Evil Dead one, I think it was, we've shown you something and you've looked at it and now we're going to go solve the clue. I don't know, does that make sense? I felt like a lot of clue solving was done in the inventory.
Yeah, I get that, definitely.
But this one is, when they said it's the hardest room, it's a lot more brain work, whereas Evil Dead room was a lot more running around and checking stuff. This was like looking at things and really trying to solve quite difficult puzzles. I mean, I remember we got one, and we were like, this! And we just heard you sort of go, how the hell did I get that?
Yeah.
We wasted 2 minutes with you explaining it to us after we'd got it.
Me and Hannah were looking at, and again, we don't want to give any spoilers on this episode, so it won't say exactly what it was. But
I was like, where are these numbers coming from?
How do they get what they're doing? And they're moving this and they're moving that. And I'm like, well, Dan and Jess are obviously really smart mathematicians or something, but we had no clue what you were doing until you explained it to us.
I would quite like people to believe that we're really smart.
Yeah,
we're really not.
Yeah, I'm not even being jokingly damning on myself. I'm the worst mathematician I know, but by a long shot.
I suppose there hasn't been any sort of maths or...
None of them are difficult. You know what I mean? It's not find out the square root of 2,000. You're like, what? You know what I mean? There's nothing. It's all there. You've just got to... got to kind of adjust your brain to the right setting to click into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you've just got to work. Of course you've got to work it. That sounds stupid.
Look at it from a different point of view, I think.
Yeah, and that's what's good about having several people on it, and that's what's good about having a screen is when one person's chatting to the avatar, checking something out, the other person can be looking at the inventory and going, oh, this is how you do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's why it works with, there was the four of us and we were able to look at something while you two are looking at something. And this game is for up to, it's between 3 and 6 players. So, you know, you could have 6 different people on 6 different laptops if you wanted to.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to check it out while we're talking about this as well, guys listening at home, it's hourglassescapes.com, and we're talking about the Ghostly Galleon remote escape room where you have to break the Buccaneer's curse from anywhere in the world. We're just sort of repeating what we said last time we reviewed an escape game together, but it was pretty cool to be able to do an escape game that's over in the States in Seattle.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
The thing is, I can see this going way beyond lockdown. Way beyond lockdown.
Oh, I hope it does.
Yeah.
We'd never get the chance to go and physically do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. What I really enjoyed as well, though, is although I wasn't, compared to you guys, I didn't know the franchise of The Evil Dead that well, although I knew bits and bobs. This one, it was their own homegrown attraction, their own IP, and it's not like a horror movie that anyone else would know. I really enjoyed I still enjoyed it on the same level. I still enjoyed that it was very well themed. It looked good. The visuals were great. I'm sure if we were there, the smell pods would look great as well.
The smell pods would look great.
Would smell great, rather. Thank you, wife. But, it just goes to show that Hourglass Escapes really do have some really well-themed escape room attractions, don't they?
And I said that, that's what I love so much about escape rooms is they're really bridging that haunt escape room gap.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
I think we've done a normal escape room.
I think they just work really well together, hand in hand. Like, escape rooms make them scary, so you're on edge as well as trying to solve these clues. We've actually done a scare attraction that included an escape room. It was at Scare Kingdom. But yeah, so I think they go hand in hand. I think it's just adding that extra element with the scary ones. But even though it's called Ghostly Galleons, I didn't find it scary.
No, I suppose...
It was kind of scary. It was just nice theming. It's like, I like monster cereal at Halloween. It's a chocolate cereal with Count Chocolate on the front. You know what I mean? It doesn't taste any different, but the theming just adds a little bit more to it. The fact it's a ghostly theme just makes it more enjoyable, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it's kind of... It's you're under pressure already, you're under a time slot, you've got to get it done within the hour. And then when you add the anxiety or something might spook you, I don't know, it's kind of exciting. Oh, am I going to get frightened? Am I going to die in here? What's going to happen?
I would really like the next level actually having physical scare actor jump scares as well. I think that would be a lovely next step.
That would be pretty cool, actually. And who knows that? I mean, we obviously haven't experienced these attractions in person, but you never know. They may have someone that jumps in for a jump scare or something like that that might not translate onto the screen as well, which is, you know, you just don't know. But, yeah, it's definitely something they could do. So?
If they go Five Nights at Freddy's on you and rah, right in the screen.
Yeah. That would be pretty scary, to be fair. Yeah, definitely. So, guys, if you want to book your time with Hourglass Escapes, bear in mind it is Pacific Standard Time as well. So, guys, we played, was it 8 o'clock we played, which would have been 12 o'clock in Seattle?
9 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon their time, 9 o'clock our time.
There we go. Yeah, so that's something that everyone needs to take into account when joining. 24 hours before your game, you'll get emailed a link for it. Head onto it 15 minutes beforehand. I'm not the most technical of people, but and I'll say this for all the escape games we've done with Hourglass, you know, this one and Evil Dead, it just seems so simple and so easy, doesn't it? They make it's not like awkward, like you've got to put in loads of different passwords and whatnot. It's just really simple. You got the link, open up Zoom, and kind of away you go, really, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, very user friendly.
Yeah. And they do suggest to not use a phone. They do suggest to use at least a tablet or a laptop or a desktop.
I mean, in all fairness, next time you do it, I might just log it up to the TV because you're looking at the room. I mean, the more you can see, the better.
I was literally thinking that, like, we could just plug the HDMI straight into our telly and do it on telly. Again, immerse yourself.
Immerse yourself.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It'd be cool if we could have a way that it's on the TV and then on the laptop is the inventory.
Oh, dum dum dum.
Dun, dun, dun.
That'd be cool.
Split screen, I say, do it.
Yeah, there you go.
As soon as I said that, I don't know how to do split screen, but there's actually a thing.
I know how to do split screen. Yeah.
Boom. Sorted.
There you go. So next time, when we do another escape game, all four of us, it'll be all. We'll have it all on the big TV. I mean, listeners don't care because they can't see us do it anyway. But yeah, that'd be cool. Who knows? It might give us more of a chance of getting out faster. We had 15 minutes left for this one, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was absolutely, absolutely shocked. Because you've got to think, I don't know, that is the by far the best. And it's the hardest room, and it's by far our quickest time. I think maybe our brains are wired for harder rooms.
Maybe. I was surprised, not that it was over easy. Like, I still think that, you know, people who pay for this, you still get your money's worth in it, obviously. But I just feel that there's been so many games that I've just not completed and not been able to figure out that when it came to 45 minutes in, boom, you've done it. You've released the curse or whatnot. We've gone, oh, winner. We've done it. Yeah, I was really bloody surprised.
Yeah, I felt great about it as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I was top of the world.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus, and they thought the hardest room as well. Fucking hell.
Do you know what? We're going to spend the future and know with you guys. It was the easiest room. We just wanted you to look better after
last year. Well, for the shambles one.
Yeah, technically, this is their room for kids, really. That's all it is. It's their hardest room for 6 to 12-year-olds. No, I'm joking. They do advise it for 12... they say it's great for ages 12 to 112. And like I say, it's 3 to 6 players, $25 a ticket, and it's a 60-minute game as well. And they do sell out. I'm checking out their website here. Lots of sold-out dates and times. So, yeah, if you want to do it, make sure you you give yourself plenty of time to book something in with your friends and family. Perfect thing to do in lockdown. And like I say, they've got another one to do, so I'm looking forward to checking that out.
It's not even lockdown. It's like I think I've seen you physically twice.
Yeah, we've only met twice. Yeah, so
this is kind of our way of hanging out. You know what I mean? It's a great thing. Like if you've got mates in Europe that you can't get to, it's just a good way of, you know, hanging around with people who live fucking hours and hours or plane rides and train rides away.
Yeah.
So lockdown aside, it's just a really nice way of just getting scared and doing something.
And it's really nice as well if you immerse yourself in it like we have, like dressing up. You don't need to dress up to play it, but it just adds that extra, like, we're dressed as pirates in the Midlands where we are, you're dressed as pirates in London where you are, there in Seattle, dressed as pirates.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's a little bit of fun, isn't it? And again, bringing up to all three different places, we had a blast. I know you guys had a blast, but also the girl who was who was our avatar, who was the pirate that we were controlling. Again, we said that the team and the staff at Hourglass Escapes are great, and anyway, with that interaction in the first game, but I didn't get her name, unfortunately. But the girl that did our escape room, Ghostly Galleon, was fantastic. She was really in character. Again,
she was so in character that at the end, when we spoke to her out of character, I was shocked by her voice, because yeah, she made such a good pirate.
She did make a really good pirate, yeah. And again, they don't push you in the right direction, but they might sort of, if they know something that's not going to work, they'll give in the, oh, I don't think this is quite right.
I don't think I need to turn this lamp
on. I don't think I need to turn this lamp on.
It is but a lamp.
Yeah, it is only but a lamp. But yeah, she did a fantastic job. And again, we spoke to people that run these escape rooms and whatnot. You get as much out of it as you put into it. You know, don't be scared to give a silly suggestion like switching the light off. You know, get into it. And I think it's a two-way street. That means that the actor, the avatar, can have just as much fun with you as well. So it's sort of like a two-way street, or three-way street. Like, yeah. I say, there's three of us all doing it, or six, you know, five all together.
Three-way.
Thanks, Hannah. So yeah, it was good, and yeah, the fastest I've ever got out of an escape room, 45 minutes.
And we're still on, how many have we done now? I think we're still on 7 for 8. So you've won 7, won 7, lost 1.
That's not a bad ratio, is it?
Still pretty, which makes me really anxious.
That you can't lose another one.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to beat 45 minutes as well.
I know.
If I fail the first escape room, I'm not sure if I've gone back. I might have just thrown the toys out the pram. But if that had been the first one, the second one, and then when we lost one, I actually didn't care about losing that one. It was hilarious. But yeah, but I still get a little bit anxious. I can't lose another one. My ratio is good.
See, we're the opposite. We're just like, we're probably going to lose, but it's a bonus if we win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think that when I think I'm going to lose, I get better. I get a little second wind because I sort of like, I chill out. And I'm like, the first one we did, literally, we had about 5 weeks left. And I was like, oh, we're going to lose. And because I thought we were going to lose, my anxiety went because I just didn't care. And I went, oh, this is it. We didn't just like, how did you do that? And I was like, well, it's just there. So maybe it's a way forward.
True, true. What I like about definitely, especially the last two we've done with Hourglass Escapes, is something that does bug me when we've done other ones, is the fact that you can, if you can't figure one bit out, go somewhere else and try and figure that bit out, or go somewhere else and try and figure that bit. Whereas I've done some escape rooms where you literally cannot get to the next section until you've completed that one specific puzzle. Yeah. And they're the ones that really annoy me. Like, it's when they're... I mean, don't get me wrong, if they're still good and enjoyable if you can get past those levels. But if they're too linear, I think that's when I start pulling my hair out, because I'm like, I can't get past this level. I can't get past this trick, this task, this whatever you got to do to get to the next bit. Whereas I know both,
it's,
you know,
usually where I storm out.
It's where Hannah storms out, yeah. With the Hourglass Escapes, both of them, they haven't had to be so linear. I know we're chatting to the team there that, you know, some people do these rooms completely backwards to how we did it. They still get the final product at the end of, you know, you've completed it, you've erased the curse, or you've completed the Evil Dead room and whatnot. But they sort of, you can kind of do it in any order to a certain extent, which I really like.
Sometimes you just get mind blocked. You sort of like, just like, you know, when you're trying to remember someone's name and you just cannot, and then 5 minutes later you go, that would, it's kind of nice. So you can mind block yourself, go, don't worry, do something else. And then we're doing something and then, oh, we found this, and suddenly went, oh my God, that's that there, isn't it? And it's kind of, it perks you up a bit. And it gives you another bit of excitement. The fact you suddenly remembered that it's actually something further down the line that you missed, and you can now go back to it. I think it's a much nicer way of doing it. I think a lot of the coolness of these escape rooms go underappreciated because they flow so nicely. It's like the Avatar. Mm. Until we start talking about the Avatar, I didn't appreciate how good she was, but you're looking back and going, no, she was, but she was so good. You kind of just, it just took you in and you went on the flow with it.
Yeah, and I think it was like, it was natural.
Yeah, you just like get on with it. It's like when you go through a horn, you don't appreciate it till you go out and start thinking about it. When you're in these escape rooms, you're just so in it. It's just such a, it just all runs so nicely.
Yeah.
And like the guy who did the Evil Dead one, he's like, guys, I'll get you through. Now, if you're stuck at a point, and I, because the end is so somatic, he's like, you know, if you're stuck at a point, I'll point you in the right direction. You'll be cool. We'll get you through. And I thought, it's just, there's such a lovely, friendly vibe to it. But they all really love it. They're all really into it. And yeah, it's just all just, it's just such a nice balance.
And I feel like you won't lose. If you're someone that struggles with it, if you're new to it, even though they say it's the hardest one, I feel like they will, you know, ensure that you do have a good time. So even if you're absolutely useless, I have Mikey at home.
Charming.
You won't lose, or, you know, you definitely will.
Mikey the Lamb.
With Mikey the Lamb.
That's your escape room name, Mikey the Lamb.
Mikey the Lamp.
It'll be a room full of nothing but lamps, and only one will be the answer.
I'll find it.
Turn them all on and off in different sequences and patterns.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Sounds great.
Just like but yeah, no, you're right, Jess. Yeah, they definitely sort of give the hints and the pointers at the right time. And like Dan said, it sort of flows so naturally. You kind of don't know they're there in a good way, because they're obviously there. They're doing everything for us, but it seems natural. And again, it kind of just goes to show how talented those guys are. More so that they get into character. Secondly, that the fact that they're interacting with us very seamlessly, it seems so natural. But also, the fact that these escape rooms aren't so linear. I mean, it must be tough enough to remember all that you know, every single thing that happens in these rooms anyway. I know if you work them regularly, you'll get used to them and whatnot. But the fact that they can't go, right, I've got the Ghost of Galleon room and I'm going to do task 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with people. Instead, they're going in going, right, I could do task 7, then we're going to do task 2, then we're going to do task 4. And so it shows that they're quite talented to be able to know these rooms inside and out in a non-linear form as well.
I don't think I could do them again and not walk my way through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd struggle. I'm supposed to remember things like scripts and everything, and I can't. So, but yeah, no, it was awesome. And like I say, they've got one more escape room at Rise of the Mad Pharaoh. Looking forward to checking that out at some point soon. Again, that's for 3 to 6 players. You just need Zoom. And again, obviously, it's 8 hours ahead because we are in the UK and they are in Seattle. Guys, has anyone got any last points to make for this escape room?
No, I just think you get out of it what you put into it. Like Anna said, get dressed up and have a laugh, you know?
Definitely. We've got to pick our outfits for the next one now, though. I'm just going to be in toilet roll as a mummy.
I've got mine.
Is it toilet roll?
I've got my mask.
He's got a mask. He's got a Tutankhamun mask and everything.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. It's going to trump us and our loo roll.
And I'll get proper Andrex stuff.
Oh, quilted.
Quilted. Triple ply. Charming. Have a little bit of a perfume edge.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, we are going to be dressed up as fantastic mummies for the next one. But yeah, like Jeff said, you'll get out of it what you put into it. Get as much as you can out, and try and beat us if you want to do it. We did it in 45 minutes, so see if you can beat us. Yeah. And then I think we did the Evil Dead room in around 65 minutes, wasn't it, guys?
Evil Dead was an hour and 15,
I thought it was it seven. I thought it was 70 minutes. I can't remember now. Let's have a look. Yeah, the Evil Dead room is 70 minutes.
Oh.
We must have done it in 65.
Cool.
Because I thought we'd lost, and he was just being nice.
Yeah.
This old God bless him. They've bollocksed it. We'll just give him a bit longer. But yeah, no, it's actually that one's 70 minutes, and we did that. Yeah, so I think that was the fastest we've done one as well. But then we had four people on that one.
Yeah, true.
God, we're getting good at these.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so far, so good.
So how long's the next one?
So the next one, let's have a check on their website again, hourglassescapes.com. The Rise of the Mad Pharaoh.
This one's going to be tactical, because the reason why we're doing that one later is because you actually need 6 people for that one.
Yeah.
You need to first have a role. So that's going to be a military operation, that one.
And are you sure you want to do that with this guy?
Can I not be on Mikey's team?
Whoa. Here we go. Oh, the Rise of the Mad Pharaoh is 60 minutes as well.
So less than 45 to beat our best.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, isn't it very tough?
Yeah. But I am definitely looking forward to it. And guys, as we sort of end this episode, make sure you have a go yourself. Go to hourglassescapes.com, check out the 3 rooms there. Let us know in the comments below on how well you did, if you've beat score, if you've done it but not managed to complete the rooms, or if you're just thinking about it, let us know. It'd be cool to hear what you guys have to say.
Tell us which one's in the next. We've got this one, which is the third and I think final remote room. Let us know which ones are worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's obviously we're doing this one over in Seattle, but we got loads here in the UK as well that we need to check out. I know you listeners out there have been doing them as well, so yeah. Online escape rooms, it's online escape rooms and quizzes have got us through COVID.
Yeah.
That's what's got us through COVID, definitely. Awesome. I think that's a perfect conclusion then, really. Dan and Jess, thank you both so much for joining us again.
Pleasure as always, mate. Pleasure as always.
It's really cool, and I'm really looking forward to doing the next next escape room next month. Again, thank you to Hourglass Escapes. Really, really appreciate those guys letting us do their rooms as well. Hannah, you looking forward to the next one?
Yeah, as long as I'm not on your team.
We are on the same team. You're on the same team. Thanks a lot. Lovely wife.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the ScareTrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Hourglass Escapes. Really, really do appreciate it. We had an absolute blast completing Tales of the Ghostly Galleon. As you heard in the review there, guys, it was so well themed. The actress running our game was awesome. It was a difficult one, but I really enjoyed them. Like I said in the review, I like the fact that these games aren't like linear, that you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, those tasks in order. The fact that you can kind of start anywhere and kind of just free flow with it. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to the third one. And once again, a huge thank you to Hourglass Escapes in Seattle. And of course, Hannah for joining me, and Dan and Jess, our guest hosts here on ScareTrack from UK Haunters, which is of course still available over on Amazon Prime. So that brings us almost to the end of this episode. Thank you so, so much for listening. And remember to join us over on our social media pages. That's where we're interacting with you guys all the time. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. We're going to be doing some competitions as the months roll on as well. We're going to be doing some more story features over on our Instagram page. We know you guys love them. And of course, more episodes here on the podcast. We've got some Coaster Track episodes coming up shortly, and we're going to be doing more YouTube videos as well. So head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ScareTrack, and make sure you click that subscribe button. And of course, make sure you're subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode. So that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and let's get scared.